it's just because I just love it when we're so close. Can we scoot up a little itty bit, just a tiny, tiny bit, and be really close? I just love that. You know, like when you can feel the person next to you, like, yeah. We can hear each other singing the Lord. It's like, ah. How are you? I'm excited. Love it, man. This is like exciting. I just love worshiping with you guys. Why don't we stand up? Aubrey's going to read from the Word, and we're going to worship the Lord.
Psalms 95. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.
Good evening, ladies. Is it worship? Just like a deep breath, especially after a busy Monday. So let's all take a deep breath. But in the name of the Lord Jesus and from Calvary Chapel Vista, we'd like to welcome you to the 2007 Women's Ministry Bible Study. We're in 1 and 2 Peter, and the title of our study is Hope in Action. And in the Bible, in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, "Thus says the Lord, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things." And it's our hope that this study, God's going to show you great and mighty things. Now, before we get started this evening, we have a few practical things to talk about. And this is the first one. Everybody who has a cell phone, please either put it on vibrate or turn it off. It's really not that important, the call. It can wait. And there is a lady in our fellowship who's disabled who needs a ride on Monday nights. And she lives just up the street on Foothill and Beauvierre. She only needs a ride. So if someone's able to provide a ride to the Bible study, if you could just see me afterward, that would be great. One of the practical things that we have to on Monday nights is we were working on these announcements in my office today. We're having some good laughs, so here you go. Does your husband, boyfriend, dad, brother, uncle, nephew, cousin, or sister's mother's brother's cousin like cars? Like to hang around cars? In the dark? In the cold? Then this ministry is for him. We have a need in the parking lot ministry. So if there's someone that you know, your husband or someone in your family that would like to step up to that, there's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. So go ahead and sign that up and then tell them that you did that. Or you can call, I lost my card. If you go home and pray and your husband prays or what have you and they say, okay, you can call, and if you've got a pen, his name is Kevin and he's in charge of the parking lot ministry and his number is 473-1563. Okay. So also, for security purposes, we ask that you use only the main entrance. Those are those two doors right there in the middle of the sanctuary. And that way we're better able to keep the building secure. So coming and going, coming, you can't come in these doors. But going, if you please, do not use the two doors there, the ones down by the bathroom, or any that lead to the alley. If you please only come and go through those two exits. It helps us secure the building and also just keep everybody in here safe. That sounds really bad, doesn't it? Like it's not a really good neighborhood. Which also, I just need to remind you, please do not leave your purses in your car. Unfortunately, you know, people are tempted. They do walk through our parking lot. We've had cars broken into in broad daylight, which, you know, is so surprising that somebody's got the guts to do that. But so if you could just, if you just bring it in or, you know, just bring small stuff so you don't leave it in the car, okay? And then also, we ask that after the study's over, I know we just had such a great time and we're just sharing and stuff, but we ask that you don't linger in the parking lot. This is really important. For one, it's cold, and for two, we have, you know, the gentlemen that are going to be helping us, and, you know, we'd like to be able to help them leave on a timely manner because they're just volunteering their time. And yeah, there's two Starbucks now, one just down the street, one just down that way, that are open. And so if you want to continue fellowshipping, go ahead and go to a Starbucks or a restaurant. And they said, well, you can tell your friend to, you know, get in the car and then call. But I didn't want to say that because, you know, we want to be good drivers, so. And another thing is, beginning next week, we will have a prayer team for you that will be available to you after the study. So after the study's over, on my left, your right, the ladies will be here. And if you have a need and you just need to pray with someone, just go ahead and come on up and they'll be there for you. And let me make sure I don't get out of order here. I even color-coded them so I could try and be organized. Because if you knew me, you know I'm not organized. Okay, in your study, there is a welcome letter. And don't look at it now. But when you get a chance, go ahead and just wanted to remind you to have a read over that. And one of the really neat things that we have this year is that the Bible study is going to be broadcast live on the internet. Yeah, it's really cool. So if you know you're under the weather and you're not able to make it, you can log onto the computer and be right here with us. So if you go to www.calvaryvista.com, then there'll be some links to show you how to access that. And also the studies will be archived if you wanted to. And we're going to be recording them on DVD, so they will be available later. Isn't that exciting? So, okay. And so now, this is going faster than I thought. This is good. You know, I've been here a long time, and I said I'd never, you know, it's like you just don't want to come up on the stage. I was really hoping the podium would be down there. It's a lot less, but okay, I can do this. Okay. The format for our evenings. I'm missing a card. I knew it. Where'd you go? Give me just a second. It's the most important one. Okay, I have to wing it. Well, okay. The format for our evenings is we will have a time of worship just like we had now. Then we'll go into the teaching with Denise. And then we'll break up into group time. So is there anybody here for coming to the Bible study at Calvary Chapel Vista for the first time? Yay! Welcome! We're so glad you're here. Now, is there anybody that's this first time ever doing a women's Bible study? Yay! That's even better! Oh, we're really glad. That's awesome. You're going to be so blessed. This will be great. So shortly, we're going to introduce the group leaders and their assistants. And from that point on, if you're new and you haven't registered yet, or if you're just not sure what's going on, hang in there. You'll find out. We'll be giving instructions a little bit later. So now, I get to introduce Denise Alvado. And Denise is the wonderful wife of our dear Pastor Rob. She's the mom of three, Aaron, who's a senior, Amy, who is a sophomore, and Amanda, who's in sixth grade. And three things I know about Denise quite well is that, oh, I love you. Denise loves God. Denise loves his word. And Denise loves the women in the body of Christ. So please welcome Denise Alvado with me.
Oh, and ooh, wow, there's a lot of you. Turn around and look. This place is pretty full. It's exciting. I entered in just hugging and talking to different women. It kind of felt like the first day of school. Did you feel that way? It's like I was just so excited. So, and I was just reminiscing and thinking about the fact that Rob and I have been here now 10 and a half years. And so I have a little quiz. Well, first of all, who has been here since the first year I was here as far as going to a women's Bible study? Stand up if you were in the very first women's Bible study when I came here. Stand up. Ooh. Okay. Who remembers the first Bible study that we did? V, do you remember? Yes! The Gospel of John. Very good. You know, we've had some amazing years together and great things that God has done in the past, and there's great things that God is going to do in the future here. For me, I'm really nervous tonight. I actually have not actively taught for about 2 years now. So if you're new to Calvary Vista, if you're new to our women's Bible study, don't feel bad. We're in this together. I think a lot of us are nervous and excited. So we're so thankful you're here and a part of this body, and you're going to love the women. You're going to love your groups. You're going to absolutely love Calvary Vista. It's just an amazing body of men and women, and you're going to be blessed. So I'm looking forward to that. With that, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for life in you, Lord, that here we are on a Monday evening, and we're out of the house, and we're together because we're drawn together by your love. Lord, your love for us and our love for one another and the love, just an excitement and enthusiasm to be in your word. And Father, to build and edify one another and encourage each other in this walk. And Lord, we just give you the remainder of the evening, ask for your blessing upon it. And Lord, that your word would go out by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now this year, our Bible study is entitled Hope in Action, and that is really a very powerful picture, and I thought really relevant as we begin a brand new year, the year 2007, where everyone's making their New Year's resolutions. How many of you did that? You sat down and you thought it through, basically hoping for change in the year to come, whether it's about yourself, maybe hoping to lose weight, hoping to exercise, hoping to quit bad habits, hoping to work on your character flaws, a nice way to say the sin in your life, the things going on that you need to deal with, or maybe hoping for change in someone else, whether you want to admit it or not. A lot of us hope for change in a spouse or hope for change in a child. I know for me right now, I'm feeling so compelled to help my son Aaron because I'm realizing, you know, he's graduating, and my time with him is so short. So all of a sudden, I feel like, you know, all the things that, you know, I forgot to teach him, you know, I still am working on, like, you know, he's going to be out, like, you know, I've been doing his laundry, I have to admit. I've never taught him how to do his laundry yet, and he hasn't learned how to iron yet. So I just feel like these things and some of his habits that I'm like, oh, you know, things that I want to change about him. And so I'm struggling with that and hoping to be able to still impact his life in some very practical ways. Oftentimes we hope for change in our circumstances, things we want to improve upon, accomplish, experience, and even grow in spiritually. But we all know from experience that hoping for change is not enough, is it? No. Making the lists is not enough. Setting goals isn't enough. Having a gym membership isn't enough. Trust me. Talking about it isn't enough. We have to act upon it, and therein lies the problem for most of us. You know, because when hope is based upon people or circumstances or even upon ourselves, we might fail, we can fail, and often we do fail. There's just no certainty in that hope. And you know, this kind of hope is what the world knows. It's the only kind of hope the world knows. And so in the face of some of the really radical issues going on in our world right now, in the face of war, and you know, just last week, President Bush sharing about having to send in more troops and we need to finish what we went in there, finish the job. Or in the midst of just the terrorism, just last week, another attack on our embassy in Greece. This is reality. This is the world that we're in right now. You know, how about, there's so much talk about global warming right now, isn't there? And did you hear in the news that 2006 was the warmest year ever charted in history since they've been, however they measure all of that? It's the warmest year ever recorded. Then there's the issues concerning our economy, the housing market that's gone down, and gas prices that are back up, and you know, the natural disasters that are happening consistently, and you know, how about the diseases? And I don't know about you, but I feel like I think every single one of us has somebody we know around us that has cancer right now of some sort. I mean, it's touching all of our lives. I mean, these are the real world issues happening, and you can just sense the anxiety and the fear and the uncertainty that weighs upon people, whether in the workplace or talking to neighbors, and definitely in the media coverage. It's very, very hopeless. But the hope that we're going to be talking about and grasping a hold of in the spoken word of God is a different kind of hope. It's one that is manifested, it's birthed within us when we give our lives and our hearts to Jesus Christ, when we believe in the one and true living God. For God is the author of hope. Romans 15:13, he's the God of hope. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 1. Sorry, I meant to tell you to get your Bibles out earlier. But we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Did you catch that? It's a living hope. It's based upon who he is, his works, his word, his power, his promises. And we're going to learn so much about this in the coming weeks ahead. And but just to paint, just to give you a little tidbit of what this living hope looks like for you and for me, I'm going to name off a few of the hopes that are talked about in the Word of God. We have the hope of the gospel. That's in Colossians 1:23. The hope of the gospel. That's that hope of the good news. The good news of the free gift of salvation and forgiveness of sin, and that there's no more separation from God. We also have the hope of the resurrection. The hope of the resurrection. That's spoken about in Acts 23:6. We know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so because he lives, we have hope. Those who believe in him will not perish. And, you know, last Friday, we had the memorial service for Sandy Dunn's dad. And it was so amazing and so beautiful. But just, I love those reminders. When you know that when you're just like, isn't it just radical when someone enters into the heavenly realm and you just feel like it's right at your fingertips, because that's our home too. And it's like just that feeling like you just want to break away and just be there and get there. And just, you know, I mean, just we shed tears just of joy because Mike reminded us, you know what, Bob is not dead. He is alive and well in heaven. That is our living hope. There is also the hope of eternal life. Titus 1:2 and 3:7 mentions this, the hope of eternal life, that we're going to live for eternity with Christ. Boy, we have that to look forward to. But not only eternity with Christ in heaven, but also eternal life now. You know, just living in that realm of the things of God, having the mind of Christ, putting our thoughts on things above, living in the abundant life. That's all part of eternal life. And then we have the hope of salvation, and that's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, the hope of salvation. And in this text, what this is talking about, it's speaking about the rapture of the church. When that day is going to come and the trumpet's going to sound and he's going to save us out of this place. He's going to snatch us away and take us to be with him. That is our hope of salvation. And it is going to happen any day. Amen? Amen? Amen. Then we have the hope of righteousness. And that's found in Galatians 5:5, the hope of righteousness. Oh, that day that we long for, when we will be in complete conformity to God's will. Don't you just long for that day? Isn't that such a hope for you? Yeah, right now we know God does see us righteous in Christ Jesus. But practically speaking, we don't always do things right. We don't see the whole, it hasn't been completed yet in our lives. But someday, we're going to be in complete conformity to the will of God, the hope of righteousness. And then there's the hope of his calling. Ephesians 1:18, the hope of his calling. He has a specific calling for each one of us. All of us have been chosen, but he has a calling. He has a purpose for our lives. What a hope that stirs up in us. There's purpose for our living. We're chosen. We have a holy, heavenly calling upon our lives. And then lastly, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. And we know that verse says that the hope of glory is Christ in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Pastor Rob talked about that Sunday, that whole concept of Him living in us and us living in Him. It's just amazing. You know, the greatest definition of this living hope, many of you, if you've sat under Pastor Rob's teaching, you've heard it. The definition is an absolute expectation of coming good. Let's say that together. An absolute expectation of coming good. How can we be for sure about this? Well, Matthew 19:17 tells us no one is good but one, and that is God. We're told in the Psalms to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the woman who puts her trust in God. He is good. Life is not always good. Circumstances are not always good, but God is good all the time. All the time, we know that He will work all things together for the good to those who are called, to those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose. You know, Peter, he's going to talk about this coming good throughout the letters in 1st and 2nd Peter. And you and I are going to discover that it's not just talking about what's coming in the future, but also an assurance of what is ours right now. So hang on. Buckle your seatbelt. There's just some great truths that we're going to learn in 1st and 2nd Peter. It's this living hope that should motivate you and I to action. No matter what the circumstances in our world today, no matter what your personal trials or mine are that we face, no matter what sufferings that we may experience, we have placed our hope in God alone, and God is good, and so we are to walk in this living hope. When Peter penned these epistles, he was writing to believers who were scattered throughout the Roman world, and life was hard. There was incredible suffering for the saints. There was opposition to their faith. There was intense persecution. And no doubt, these believers were dealing with fear and discouragement. They were just like you and I. I mean, think about what they were under. They must have struggled with the isolation of being scattered, depression. How about the grief of watching people they love and family members being killed, being persecuted for their faith? It would have been tempting for these believers to just blend back in with the world, go back to what's comfortable, to what's safe, what's easier, and really to be tempted to compromise and live in mediocrity, and eventually forget their living hope. Because oh, how easy it is for us to forget. But the Lord had His eye on His church, and He had a heart for His bride. And through the inspiration of His Spirit, He had men like Peter and the Apostle Paul and John write letters of encouragement to equip the saints, to exhort them. Little side note that I just think is fascinating that I read and really pondered, and you can ponder about it in your own time, but that the Apostle Paul, he wrote in regards to faith. Peter wrote in regards to hope, and John wrote in regards to love. I love that, just the complete picture of faith, hope, and love. Now today in the year 2007, still believers are scattered throughout the world. Many in other countries are facing fierce persecution. Rob and I were at the missions conference a couple weeks ago out at Marietta, and we had such a treat of having Heather Mercer come and share with us. And many of you maybe remember 2 years ago, it was in the media coverage, how there were these two missionary women in Afghanistan, and they had been captured and imprisoned for their faith, and they were being persecuted. And we got to watch how God just totally intervened and saved these girls' lives. And God used it for His glory in Afghanistan and spreading His name. But she shares, and I'm hoping to, at some point, I'm going to share, we it was recorded on DVD, and I'm going to share those tapes with you. I mean, it was just an amazing story and a very amazing exhortation for the church today. But what I loved about Heather's story is here she is sharing, and, you know, when she came back, she took advantage of the opportunity to go around and share the story. But she said, you know what? The story is not finished yet. I don't want to just live in what he did in the past. I know that he wants to do so much more in the future. And so she's amazing. So now she's actually in Iraq with a group of people that are there. There's just this small group, and they're in Iraq, and it's just amazing. I'm looking forward to sharing it with you and what God's doing in and through her life. But she is a testimony of someone who's living, who has a living hope. In America, we don't face the physical persecution, at least not yet. But we do experience it in other ways. We experience it socially and politically. We see it in the education system. We see it in the workplace. But all of us, everyone in this room, faces suffering. Wearing, it's tiresome. It can be strenuous. And without Christ, it is crippling. It is just crippling. It's the end for people that don't have the hope of Jesus Christ. But with Christ, suffering is turned to glory. Only in Jesus can suffering and glory be commingled together, sorrow turned into joy. Turn over to chapter 5 with me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Peter says at the end of this letter, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory forever and ever." You know, Peter, he's got this tremendous message of hope for you and I. And his purpose, he tells us toward the end of his letter also, is to encourage and testify of the grace of God. And boy, there's no one like Peter who could testify of the grace of God. This common, ordinary man until he met Jesus. And then through the Holy Spirit working in him, he became extraordinary. Peter had failed, faltered, made many mistakes, but we know he was forgiven, restored, he was used. Early on, you just see that Peter, he ran from suffering. He didn't want to suffer. He distanced himself. He was afraid to suffer. He even denied the Lord to protect his life. Oh, but later in Peter's life, filled with the Holy Spirit, he was a man who embraced suffering. Remember at the end of the Gospel of John, where after Jesus had resurrected from the dead, and he stands on the sandy beach and has a fire, and he calls Peter to him, and he says to him that when you are old, he would stretch out his hands, and another would gird him and carry him where he did not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. And history does tell us that Peter was crucified for Christ's sake, but that he asked to hang upside down, noting that he wasn't worthy to be crucified like his Lord Jesus. I think we love Peter because he was so human. We feel comfortable in our relationship with God. If he could, we can. He was a work in progress. We are a work in progress. And over the next 10 weeks, we're going to be challenged in many areas. Mainly, it's going to be to understand the great salvation that you have. Be absolutely certain of what you believe and then grow in it and increase in it. In other words, to walk the talk. It's going to be a challenging letter for us. Peter deals with the problems from the outside. He's going to deal with problems from the inside. And he's going to call us to walk worthy and to walk holy and to have a genuine faith. If you go back to chapter 1, look at verse 7. Actually, we'll start in verse 6. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The reality is, we can't know if our faith is genuine unless it's tested. And that involves action. It involves how we respond, how we live our lives. And that will be the obvious proof of our living hope. In closing, I want to remind you again of that definition of what hope is in Christ, that absolute expectation of coming good. And we know first and foremost that's referring to God's action toward us. But I want you to pay attention in Peter's letter how often the word good is used. I don't know if any of you have that little brain like mine. I have this little analytical brain, and I just noticed the word good pops out a lot in his letters. And the other ways that it's used, when he speaks of good, it actually refers to our actions, our behavior in Christ. You're going to notice we're exhorted to do good, to be followers of what is good, to have a good conscience, to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So the exhortation is to all of us, do we have a genuine living hope? Do our actions speak louder than our words? Are we living with an absolute expectation of coming good? Knowing and believing that God is good and that he's going to work all things for good. And then our response to that, because of his goodness, then that our life will reflect that in our actions. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, for your righteousness. Father, we thank you for the living hope we have because of you. Lord, a confidence of our future, of what lies ahead for us. And Lord, also that you're with us and you're working in our lives right now. And Lord, everything that we go through, when we're surrendered to you, in fellowship with you, abiding in you, willing to let you do what you want to do in our lives, Lord, you use that all, Lord, in preparation for what's ahead, but also, Lord, to glorify you here in this world. And Lord, we want to bring glory to your name. And so, Lord, I pray that as we move into this study throughout the next few weeks, Lord, that you would just speak loudly into our hearts. Father, that we would be so ready and open to absorb your word and to apply your, to let it go down deep and take root and bear much fruit. Lord, we thank you that you have chosen us. We thank you for our great salvation. We thank you for the hope. Let's all stand, and I'd like to close singing a hymn, On Christ the Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood, and I dare not trust the rock I stand. All darkness
fades. We're done. Why don't you go ahead and sit down? Introduce myself. I am Debbie Cracchiolo, and this is Holly Nelson. We are the support leader and assistant for your leaders. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have all the leaders and assistants come on up and stand here. And what I'd like you to do is pull out your roster. Hopefully you guys, like I would do, is I would look on the list to see whose group I'm in and see if any of my friends are in the same group. So I'm hoping that all of you guys have found your names. There is all of you that have already signed up as of last Sunday are on this list. If you signed up today, what you won't be on this list, but we will be putting you in one of these groups. So when we dismiss, what I'd like all of you to do is just go out to the foyer and we'll let you know whose group you're in. So, as you can see, we have a big group. We have seven groups, and I'm really, really excited this year because these ladies have been praying for you and are just really excited to just come alongside you and serve you. So I'm going to introduce. We're going to go down, and if you look at this, also, too, on the back, which is really cool, Karen did this. She put a map. So just to kind of let you know, foyer is in the back. The fellowship hall is just right outside the double doors. We have rooms down the first hall, which are the 100 rooms, there's room 102, 104, and 106, and then down the second hall, which is close to the children's ministry, is the 200 rooms. So, first group is, we have Margie Hill and Rose Ramos, and these guys are meeting in room 106. Next group is Marilyn Bean.
Sorry. Okay. Just kind of do it on the side. I have Marilyn Bean and Charlene Parker. And unfortunately, I have to put my glasses back on. And they are in the foyer. We have Paz Rico and Lisa Armavisa, and they are in room 206. We have Kathy Boyer and Una Campbell, and they are in room 102. Sue Cope and Georgie Knapp, and they are in 104. Carol Goodnow and Candy Brown, they are in room 102. And at the very end, we have Janine Maybaum and Neva Wetzel. Good, said it right. So, and those guys are four. So, I'm going to dismiss you all. As I said, just look on the list, and there are signs right outside the door, so you'll know what classroom there is. So, enjoy your groups.